Thank God. All right, well, so kind of the format, what we're going to do, I'm going to say a few things in general, then Shelley's going to touch on some things, and then at the end, we'll have a time for Q&A. We will definitely get you out of here, questions and answers for some of the, maybe for anybody. We'll be out of here by 2, if not sooner. Okay, but definitely have you out of here by 2. So, all right, well, first of all, thank you for everybody that helped put this together. Diana, thank you for all the organizing the food and everybody that helped set up. Pete and Connie, I don't know who all set up. I know you who brought food and who helped do the different things. I don't know who all helped, but thank you. So I don't want to miss somebody. And then just thank you guys all for all you that have helped and volunteered over the past year and even longer. You know, we had a meeting last year. It was different. We had David Fleming in. He spoke to the volunteers. It was right at the end of the year before. But all that you that have been involved and given up your time, and it's as under the Lord, and we know that. And we're just honored and privileged to be the pastors of this church, and that we just believe God's got awesome things. You know, He's growing the church. He's bringing the people along that are hooking up, and we're all serving Him. You know, we don't serve men, but we honor men as they serve Him. And that's some of the things we'll be talking about. So I'm going to read a scripture. So number one thing I want to touch on is just that the volunteers, what you guys are doing, Ministry of Helps, you know, is ministry in the Bible, and it's just vital to the growth of the church and the effectiveness of the church in general. I want to read you, if you want to write these things down, you can, but we don't have Bibles in general. Acts 6, and this will be available. We're recording this, so this will be available. Before I get going, I want to make mention, there are descriptions over here of the different areas that we've mentioned, so ushers and greeters and all that. So there's a one-page kind of responsibilities. This isn't all the guidelines. So like the ushers will have a complete set of guidelines besides this. This is kind of like, what are the general, if you were thinking about being an usher, what are you signing up for? Okay, toddlers, children's, all that. There's 9 areas over there. We have several copies of each. So feel free to take the different ones. Please don't take the last copy of, they probably could. I just want to know, do you have them listed somewhere? Because we can email you any of these. So how do you want to do that? They can just take them out. I'd rather there be at least one copy there, so if people just wanted to look at it and know, I'd like to get that. So if you, please don't take the last copy. If you didn't get something, email Shelley. We'll shoot you back all of them if you want. No problem. Yeah, so if you're interested in a few and you want to know kind of what you're signing up for, please take those. That's what they're there for, and that'll give you a good idea. And then just pray about it. So Acts 6 says this, Acts 6:1. It says, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, some other ones that I'm not going to try to pronounce, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." So you can see, number one, they selected men that were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom that they may appoint over this business. Okay? People get the idea, well, you know, I want to preach the word, or I just want to be on the worship team. No, you do whatever God tells you to do. It takes you being full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom to do that, and you'll be graced to do what God has called you to do, whatever it is. And whatever God is calling you to do today, do that. You see, Philip was mentioned here. He was used and mightily of God later. But he was faithful to do what was being asked of him here. And there's no way that this church will grow and be all that it's supposed to be without people taking their place. Now, don't get me wrong. God will bring the right people to fulfill what needs to be in every area. It's just a matter, each person makes this decision. Am I going to be a part of it? So God will bring his purposes forward. But each person decides, am I going to be a part of that? Am I going to be a part? Am I going to do what God's asking me to do? In other words, no one person's going to stop what God's doing. He will find somebody to do it. But our job is to find what are we supposed to do and do that. And as each person fills their place, the church will be effective and everybody will grow. Everyone will be helped and nourished. You know, as the church grows, you know, eventually, if we keep going the way we are, and so, you know, you don't know. As far as I'm concerned, I'm called to pastor this church, and so that's what I have planned to do. Now, if God would call me somewhere to do something else, and there it would be very orderly and everything. There would be whatever needed to happen at that point would happen. But as far as I know, I'm called to pastor this church. And if we keep going on, then eventually, you know, I'll be full-time pastor of the church. And I do work a secular job right now, and I believe firmly that's what God has me to do right now. And I'm where I'm supposed to be, learning what I need to learn, and so that I'll be ready to do whatever the next thing is. And I've already seen that a lot. But as we grow, it's going to take structure for people to take their place and fill in and do what each person is called to do and to be faithful doing it. And that's key. Faithfulness is absolutely key to doing what God has called you to do. As we grow this church, as people are faithful, the structure will change. You know, eventually we're going to have people over different ministries or over different areas. And that will happen over time, but there's no way. It all starts with each person being faithful in their place. So there are different gifts within the church. It's important to find out where God would have you to help. I want to read Romans 12. So there are different places. Not everybody's called to do the same thing. And we need to know where God's calling us. And where God calls you, he will grace you to do it. He will endow you to do it. You'll be able to do it. You'll be able to do it effectively. Somebody could look at you and say, how are you able to do that so quickly and easily and be prepared? It's because you're graced. And draw on that grace. It takes faith to walk in what you're called to. You may not feel ready to get up and minister if you're a children's worker, or you not feel ready to face people when you're greeting, but you got to do it by faith. And you'll find God is faithful to you every time. He will give you what you need. Verse 4, Romans 4, 12, 4 says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. There are different gifts in the body of Christ. Our job is to find out where God is calling us today and do that. And as you do that, you will be added to. There will be more. And God will keep moving us on. But sometimes people get sidetracked. They look down the road and say, well, I'm really called to do this. And they say, well, if I had that calling, if I could step into that, then I'd be ready. Then I'd be, you know, I would spend the time necessary. And I would be on time then if I had a big position. If you don't do what God is calling you to do today, don't fool yourself. You won't. The Bible says as much. It says, we just read it. With tithes and offerings. He who is faithful in little is faithful in much. But people all the time think, well, if I had a, you know, if I was called to preach or I was called to minister in front of thousands. I'd be there. I'd be there on time. No, you wouldn't if that's not what you're doing now. What you're doing today is exactly the way you'd handle it. People say, well, I'm not on time, but I'll get there early if something really important. No, it won't happen. All you do is cause yourself a lot of stress. Some people sign up for stuff and say, well, this will force me to get up early. No, it won't. No, you'll just find yourself, now you're late for the thing that you signed up for. Somebody did that. I read about it. Well, they said, well, you know, I've been really wanting to move my family to getting there earlier and whatever, so we're going to sign up for this thing for, you know, a quarter and do that. And there was a lady, she said it was just a train wreck. And it wasn't even, I think that was like not even a church thing. She said, I will never do that again. You don't sign up for things to try to change your behavior. Your behavior enables you to do things, your character and what you do. So what you do now greatly affects how you'll be used in the future. Sometimes the best place to help is where help is needed the most. If everyone wants to be a greeter and no one wants to work with the children, the church is less effective. Do what God would tell you to do. And when I say that, do what He would call you to do. And that, don't, people get this idea that, well, you know, God will just always ask me to do the thing that is just exactly what I want to do. Not so. God is on our side. Do you always ask your children to do exactly just what they want to do? Is there ever a time for you parents, or for everybody that's had parents, did your parents always ask you just to do the exact thing that you wanted to do and it just tickled you, and you always ask your kids to do exactly what they're supposed to do and that just always blesses them? Or are there sometimes you say, you will do this because it's good for you? Is that true? Well, is God the best father or not? Do you think He grows us up? Do you think He asks us to do stuff that He knows we need, that we're not, our flesh is going, no way, not doing that, don't want to be there. But if we'll be obedient and be where God has called us to do, or be where He wants us to be, the church will work the way it's supposed to. But I just encourage you, do what the Lord is telling you to do, not what your flesh would want to do. And I'm speaking from experience. I've served in the toddlers with two-year-olds. I've been in the babies. I've been in elementary school. I've been in the greeters. I've been in the ushers. I've been in everything that you could probably name, and I've done it. I've done communion. You know, I've done baptisms. I've done all those things. I've worked with youth, worked in the music. And so I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I haven't done. I sat there at Rhema Bible Church week after week. I'd get up and volunteer when they'd have an overflow for the kids, but I'd sit there and I started to get the impression I was supposed to be in the children's ministry. I did not want to be going back and working with the children. I wanted to be in the service. I wanted to just do music. But it wouldn't go in. I knew it was God, and I said, okay, fine. I signed up and said, whatever you need, whatever area you want. And so we started serving in the children's ministry as well, and eventually, you know, we just served on Wednesday nights with I can't remember what age group, and helped out with a program, a Christmas program and all that stuff. And then eventually they started a new Wednesday night program. They asked us to be part of that team. So it was a core group where we were ministering to 150 so elementary kids on a Wednesday night. We did music, but we also preached, you know, and had a team. And it was like a mini church. And God was developing us and certain things in us for that. And I thank God I was there. So I just encourage you, you just step into what God has called you to do now. And if it's God, it won't go away. It'll stay there. And He is developing. You'll look back and go, okay, and I see it now. I understand why He was developing me for this. You don't see all that now. Just let me tell you, you don't see everything in your life. I don't see everything in my life. I'm doing certain things now that if it was just up to my flesh, I wouldn't do. But I know it's God telling me to do it. And He's growing me and developing me just like He will you. And so I just encourage you, get in the right place. And if everybody will be led like that, the church will work. But sometimes there is a need. And you don't let the need be the call. But know this, I am the pastor and under-shepherd. I'm the pastor of this church, under-shepherd to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm asking you to do something, and I believe God's that it's the Lord asking you, it's as if the Lord is asking you. Did you hear me? Now, I'm not saying I'm just going to tell you to do something and generally it'll go back And fourth, but if I say something to Shelly and Shelly comes and asks you, can you do this? It's as if the Lord is asking you. People differentiate. People say, well, if it was God, I'd do it. No, you wouldn't. Not if you wouldn't. If you, the way you treat people that are his representatives. And this goes for, because we will have people that are over groups. We'll have somebody that's in charge of, you know, eventually children's and toddlers and different things. And if you think, well, no, I want to hear it from the pastor. The way you treat that person ought to be the same way you treat the Lord Jesus himself. If that person asks you to do something, you say, okay, yeah, I'll do that. Just the same way. You say, well, I can't deal with that person. You can't deal with God then. Because you're not dealing with God. You say, well, I can deal with him, I just can't deal with people. God works through people. How you're going to react to him and how you react with the authority chain. If somebody, I've asked somebody to do something, and for instance, Shelly is over the volunteers right now. You know, and you guys know that if you're working with the volunteers. She does so much stuff. Sends out, right now, and that won't always be, but right now she sends out all the volunteer schedules. She talks with the volunteers. She sends out all those descriptions, she put all those together. She does the finances of the church. She does many things. And if she needs a touch base with me on something, she does. But, and so anytime you're dealing with her, it's as if you're dealing with me. You don't have to say, well, I want to see what Jim would say about this. You're talking. I've already talked to her and told her what my opinion, if she needs it. But she's my darling wife, and I love her very much. And I'm so glad to have such a sweet helpmate. God blessed me mightily when he gave me Shelly. And we're in this together. This isn't me. We really pastor the church together. When she talks with people on the phone, I don't have the time in the middle of the day to talk with people and counsel them or when they have a question. She does that most of the time. And, you know, even as the church grows, to some point, you may not always deal, you're not going to deal with necessarily the senior pastor all the time. There will be somebody that you'll deal with. But when people say, well, people used to do that with Brother Hagin. Well, I want to talk to Brother Hagin. And Keith Moore. Now you know, does anybody know who Keith Moore is? Well, Keith Moore wasn't always the Keith Moore that you know now. He was just some 20-year-old kid working in healing school. He would be the one dealing with them. And somebody would try to, you know, go and well, I got to talk to Brother Hagin. Well, maybe I can help you. Maybe I can help you with your concern. Well, now people want to get to Keith Moore. We just need to esteem whoever is over us, regardless, and treat them the way you would Jesus. And things will work smoothly. And I'm kind of melding some of my points here. Just, I will say this, without a doubt, I'm not saying this to be have a bad confession or to be negative about anything. Even if you don't volunteer, I mean, just if you're in the congregation, this will happen. But especially when you volunteer, you are going to have opportunity to have bad thoughts and to think stuff about the person that you're dealing with, the people around you, you know, your other greeters, your other children's workers. You're going to have that opportunity to think that about myself and Shelly. And anybody, of course, in the church, well, they should be doing this. They should be doing that. But when you get in the volunteer, well, why aren't they doing this? Don't they see this? And you got to be really careful. And I will tell you, I've walked on both sides. Now, I've been under pastor for years and years. And, you know, there are times you're going to think, you're going to have thoughts come. And don't even think that's weird. Because I'm just telling you right now, it's going to happen. It's what you do with it. I'll just say, if you ever have a problem and you have an issue, come talk to myself or Shelly and just get it out in the open and just talk about it. If you think there's something that somehow we offended you or said something that you thought we meant in a certain way, just bring it up and come talk. And I'm saying this, as you're stepping into volunteers, you're even a bigger target, okay? If you take you out on when you're teaching children's or toddlers or greeting, you affect a lot of other people. You know, if you're greeting and you got given all kinds of thoughts, and then somebody comes in and you're just like, that doesn't help. You know, the kids, you go back there with the kids and you're like, good grief, I got to deal with these people. And you're just, you know, it doesn't help them. God's not able to flow through you like he would. So just be on guard. Know that that will happen. But I will tell you this also, and you, some of you that have been around, you've heard me say this, and I say this to everybody. If right now you could be, did that something happen there? Just because I leaned down. Right now you're all looking at me. You may not be thinking this or not, but right now it's like, oh yeah, I would do that. I'll come talk to you. Sure, I'd do that. Right now is not what you have to think about, because when this actually, if you have a problem, you won't want to come and talk to us or the person over you. What you'll think in that point, because this is the way the enemy works, is you'll think they don't understand, they don't get it, there's no reason to come talk to them. And usually people will say this all the time, well, if I was ever going to leave the church or leave a ministry, I'd come talk to you. But when they get mad or they have these thoughts, they don't want to talk to anybody, and they go. Do you see what I'm saying? Right now you say, well, I'll do that. It's when you're walking through it, that's when you have to say, maybe I should get this out in the open. Maybe they didn't actually mean what I thought they meant. Or maybe I'm misunderstanding something. And so we should just talk about it. And I will say along these lines, email is not good for things that are laced with emotion or things that could be misunderstood or bringing up new concepts or ideas or anything like that. It's good for schedules. It's good for, hey, we're going to get to lunch together. But you know as well as I do, you've probably all gotten emails and God forbid texts, 140 characters or less. You read that, you will have the tendency, and this I've read this in business and everything, you have to watch how you use email and these type of things, because it will be taken in the worst possible way, even if you didn't mean it. It just leads to communication problems. If you're dealing with a complaint or anything that could come back or anything like that, you go to just talk to the person. It's so much easier, because so much of our communication is through our body language, and people can see if you really understand or not. On the phone, a lot of that's taken away. In an email, it's completely gone. And most of us don't write our emails with care to where should I communicate with this? And if you have to spend that much time crafting it, it's probably something you shouldn't deal with in an email or a text. And this is just, we're not talking about anything specific even to the church, it's just the way it is. So I would encourage you, if you need to talk about something, do it in person. And we understand. I just touch on a few things. So as the church grows, there will be more people in more places, like I mentioned, that would be, like, for instance, children's would be your go-to person for children's. You would have, you know, be able to talk to them, and they would handle certain things, or toddlers, or maybe there's somebody over both, or it, you know, that stuff will grow over time. It is going like that. We understand that there are certain things that Shelly handles or myself, and that you could feel like, well, I just can't get to them. Well, ask, set up something, and you can. We understand that, and but I don't think it's a bad thing right now. What I will say is this. So many people, and you as volunteers, this would go for people in general, coming to the church, and I would tell them the same thing, but especially as volunteers, so many times things that we think we need to talk personally about, or especially if it's a problem area, make sure you're taking advantage of the avenues you have open to you. Sundays and Wednesday nights, the church, the areas that you're coming. So many questions that would be answered if we're there at the given times. Because those are times we are available to everybody. And so I would make sure you are taking advantage of those. And then things will, as things grow, things will change. We're aware of a lot of these things. I mean, like I said before, you've heard me say, we've been in a church. The auditorium at Rhema seats 4,500 people. It's a big church, and it's an international ministry. And I've been through, you know, I went to third-year pastor. I served for many years in a local church in Nebraska and went to Rhema. And I served in third-year pastors. You see it's a small group, and you go through every part of all the areas. And you train on what all those different areas are. We go through you know, baptisms and weddings and all those things as well. We go and we saw churches all throughout Tulsa. One of our classes was Tuesdays and Thursdays. We got in for a quarter. We got into a bus, a van, and went to some church in Tulsa. And Tulsa has a lot of churches, let me tell you. But we went to all kinds, not just Word of Faith, not just charismatic. We went to Episcopal churches. We went to a Catholic church. We went to all kinds and talked to the, most times it was the senior pastor, and he would just go over, show how they were doing stuff, answer any questions we had. We saw all the way things can be done. I've seen a lot of this. I'm not saying I know everything. I don't about these things, and I'm learning and growing. But we have seen some stuff, and we realize there are a lot of programs we could have. We understand that. And there's a lot of, what I don't want to do is start programs that we can't sustain and what God is not calling us to do. So we understand that there's things that could be done, but it's timing, it has to be sustainable, and it's got to be the Lord leading us to do it, because when I start something, I don't stop it. If you've been here very long, you know, I don't jut out and just do something and come back and stop it. We take our time to when we know it's God, and then we do it, and we keep doing it as long as the Lord tells us to do. So that being said, we know where we're going. Yeah, I don't know the long, everything out in the future, but I know steps, you know, immediate steps that we're going towards. And so we do have a vision for the church, and you guys hear me talk about things at different times about where we're going, just even talking about where the volunteers are going with the different layers. You know, we will. Different areas of the church are going to grow, but we want it to grow at the right time. And we want to have the right people in place. We're building a foundation. You guys are part of the foundation. You're part of the foundation of this church. And you do things differently when you're building a foundation than you're replacing, you know, a piece of siding on a house. You know, on a house. If you're replacing some weight-bearing beam or something, you got to be more careful than if you're just, you know, changing a shutter, right? Well, we're at the place where almost everything we're doing is at the foundational level. You don't just slot people in left and right and say, well, let's go. I'm not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry. When before God called me to do this, and we say, if we ever start a church, we're going to do as long as it takes to get the thing going. If we know it's God, we'll take, I don't care if it takes 10, 20 years. Because if you can get something solid, we're expecting this to be thousands. I'm not building a foundation to stay at 100 people forever. And I've seen churches, they just try to do everything, and then they, because of their structure or whatever, they stay. They can't sustain more than that. So they get a little bit of people, but then they leave because there's nowhere to slot them. There's nowhere to grow. And each time you go up, you double in size, you know, it's been said you have to change your communication style. And there's growing pains. And I talked to some of those pastors that I was mentioning before. As we go out to these churches, and they said, I mean, we were hit, stopped at 800, and could not get past it. And you think 800, that's a lot? Yeah, but there's this at every level. And then they finally changed some stuff, and then it just exploded up higher. And there, you have to have a certain amount of structure, and you have to have the right people, and you have to have faithful people. And that's what we're building right now. So no, we don't move real quick. Well, let's just give you this and run with it. No, because then you have to backtrack. So we're going to build this thing slow as stuff goes. You'll see people get into things quicker when the church is bigger. Because it's like replacing a little piece of wood like we talked about. If this person decides to quit, the infrastructure's there. You know, you already have these different people in place. Rhema, you could sign up for a bunch of stuff. They have new students coming in every year. But the infrastructure they have is tremendous. They can bear up under that. But they're not, you know, they don't change out their associate pastors and their music ministers and their head children's ministers every year. You know, that's what we're putting into place. So, that being said, you know, if you want to approach us on, hey, have you thought about this or this idea? We're open to it. We're not closed. We're not saying we know that. We'd love to hear that. But understand, be careful how you phrase it too. And this goes in general where it's here or anything. And this is just normal. So I'm not talking about even specific to us. I'm saying when you're talking about things, Christians in general, if I was talking to my boss at work, and I, you know, we were talking about something. I said, hey, what do you think if we did this? That's how I would say it, if I had an idea. The way Christians, a lot of times, especially charismatic, Word of Faith, they say, the Lord told me this. What do you think about it? Well, think about what you're saying. You're basically setting it up. And if you go to one of your leaders, then we're eventually, if we have somebody over children, whatever, you say, hey, God's telling me to do this. What do you think? Well, look at the dynamic that you just set up. You're saying, God told me to do this. Now, are you going to get on board with God, or are you going to rebel? But people use that, and they don't realize what they're doing. What you're saying, you should be open to the possibility that it's you saying that and not necessarily the Lord. You notice, if you've been around, I do not throw out the Lord just told us to do this unless I'm sure. I could say, I believe we're supposed to do this, and I can miss it. We got to be careful about that. Hey, what do you think about this? Well, let's pray about it. Let's see. Let's see how this comes out. And especially if you're approaching someone, hey, what about this? And we want, especially as if you're in certain areas, you're going to see the stuff that you're to do your job. So if you're in children's, you're going to see what day to day. So you might say, hey, do you think we could tweak this? And that we want that feedback. But saying, hey, let's go over and start this area. Well, what is the infrastructure it's going to take to hold that up, right? So we got to think about that stuff. So I just want to share with you our heart on some of those things. Let me read this real quick. Okay, I want to read you 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is he therefore not of the body? Or is it therefore not of the body? Or if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So when we're looking at these different areas, know where God set you. And don't say, well, I'm not that person. I want to do that. Why can't I do that? You get into trouble when you try to do that. Do what God told you to do and stay there. And because if everybody were doing the one area, there wouldn't be the other areas. And we want to appreciate and encourage each other in that area. Boy, you're good at that. Appreciate what other people can do. You say, I could never do that. The way you do it, you just pick it up that quickly. That's why we have a body. Right? We want to be in the right place doing what God has told us to do. And so don't, if everybody thinks, well, I want to be a greeter, but nobody wants to be in the children's, well, that's going to suffer. And we can't go up. If you don't have children's covered, you are hindered by what you can do. When new people come in and they're like, yeah, there's like two people and 18 kids back there running around. I'm not going to put my kid back there. We can't do that. It hinders us. So we need the right people in the right place. I think I got everything. So Shelley's going to talk now some specific items with the volunteers. Go ahead, since you run them generally. Do you want this?
All right. So he's kind of giving you the overview of everything. I just wanted to give you some of the specifics that are general for every area, but it's still probably more of the natural type of things that we're going to be dealing with, which is one of the reasons why we have our youth in here today. I just want to thank the youth for being in here with us. They are such a tremendous help. I get to work with all of them in Super Kid Academy, and then I also get to see them at youth group, and it's a blessing. There's so many times that adults, they don't know what it looks like to volunteer in toddlers or to volunteer in the nursery or with the elementary kids. And our youth are getting that opportunity to see it, hands-on training from the beginning. And so they're not going to have those fears to go in with the younger children because they've already done it and they've already seen what it looks like. And, it says that if we train them when they're younger, you know, they're not going to go away from it as they get older. If they've learned how to hands-on do things right now in the church, it's going to be easier for them to volunteer as they get older. And so thank you guys for being in here. I know you've had to sit through one sermon already, and now you're going through another sermon, which is a big deal for your age, but you're doing awesome, and I appreciate it very much. So thank you. One of the things, an area that I want to talk about is the importance of valuing the area that you are ministering in. It's really easy to know that you have, especially if you feel like you're called to a larger ministry, and some of this is overlapping what Jim is saying, but I'm going to try to do it even more practical in certain things. But sometimes it's easy, especially if you feel like one day you're going to go into full-time ministry, or you're going to be a teacher, or you're going to be this or that, that you are keeping the insight, you know, where you're going, and wanting to take steps now for that. And I just want to encourage you that no matter what you're doing, if God's called you to do it, esteem that area. So yes, there may be a day where you're teaching, or you're leading the praise and worship, or you're even being a pastor. That day could come. But right now, if you're working in hospitality, or if you're working in the nursery, rocking those babies, esteem that. That is ministry. That is as much ministry as what's going on in the pulpit. And what happens is that a lot of times people will take that for granted and not esteem what they're doing, and, you know, not put their all into it. And I just want to encourage, not that that is happening here at all. I don't feel that way. But I'm just saying there's that tendency to think, well, I don't really want to work with this, or I don't want to do that. Or I'm doing this as a means to an end. So I want to eventually get over here and do this. But then you miss out on the blessing that you're receiving while you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And there is such a blessing when you get to impart truths into the nursery and then the preschoolers and then the elementary kids, the youth. When you get to hand out a bulletin to somebody who is a first-time visitor and is basically deciding if they want to come to the church or not, if you're taking that as, I'm doing this, and this is important, you're going to have that come out as you're doing it. But if you're, you know, not excited about what you're doing, that's going to show as well. So the other thing is value the people that you're working with. So you, most of the time we are pairing people together. There'll be two in toddlers. There'll be two in nursery. There'll be two in children's. There'll be two ushers. And then we're having the youth. Like the youth will get an opportunity to volunteer as an usher. And the youth, at different points, we have had them help out with hospitality and the different areas. Value those teenagers. Value that person that is your teammate, you know, if you've got a co-worker on something. You want to esteem them and not take them for granted. It's easy to think, you know, especially the closer that you get to one another, it's easy to, you know, have things that maybe bother you a little bit, you know, about the other person, or because you're going to get to know them pretty well because you're working on different things. And just be on guard. Don't look for the negative in the person. Look for the value, the thing that they're bringing to the plate, even if it's the fact that you're not having to do everything yourself. If that's the only thing that you can think of, well, thank God you're not doing it all by yourself, okay? You've got someone helping you. Whatever you have to do, try to focus on the positive and not the negative. And then another thing that I want to encourage you to do is to esteem the people you're ministering to. If they're babies, they're still people. And so it doesn't matter if they're 2 months old or 12 years old or 92 years old. They're very important. They're valuable to God, and they should be loved and respected. Now, you are going to see all sorts of different types of people. You're going to see people that are easier to love and people that are a little bit cranky. and a little bit harder to get along with. You're going to, you know, when you're working with children, you're going to have those that are just like, yes, ma'am, no, sir, yes, you know, and very polite. And then you're going to have those that can't sit still for the life of them. You know, it doesn't matter what you do, how you redirect them, they still are, you know, struggling to sit still. Well, we're here to minister to everyone. And we want to value each person that is coming, because that is a soul that we are endeavoring to have come along with us, or a spirit man that's going to heaven with us. And so we don't want to take that for granted and say, oh, they're all just so crazy. You know, sometimes I'm sure our toddler workers could say amen right now. There's times where they could just say, oh, that was a good one today. Because they were very active or whatever. But you know what? If you're esteeming those children and loving them and respecting them, your attitude towards them is going to be one that they're going to feel God's love. And they're going to receive God's love. And that kind of love is what's going to change their lives. And we're setting things in place. If you are, hospitality, we're so thankful for Diana helping us with that. You know, if somebody's having trouble, figuring out how to turn the coffee maker on. You know, at least she is right there to be able to help them. That's a ministry right there. Otherwise, they're going to, you know, potentially break the coffee machine and then leave frustrated saying, why doesn't their coffee maker work? You know, whatever it is. But she's helping to facilitate an area where she's ministering to someone one-on-one. And it may not be, you know, the typical way that we consider ministry, but that's still ministering. And the same thing with our children, the same thing with greeting, the same thing with ushering. You know, there's going to be times where the ushers are having to deal with people that are cranky, and they can do it in a way that still shows the joy of the Lord and ministers love to them. And, we're still representing God no matter what the actions are of the other people. We're still representing God. And God is very patient. He's very patient with us. And we, in turn, need to have that same kind of patience with other people. And it's not always easy, but we just want, that's what we're working towards, you know? If somebody turns in, you know, their book, or they've lost 5 books, you know, Dawn and Everett, you can just still share the love of God with them. They may have to be firm on certain things and say, you know what, why don't we take a break on having some books for a while? Maybe go clean that room for a little bit and then come back and see us. Whatever. But, you know, in love, not treating people poorly, but in love, you don't let people walk over and control situations. And there will be people that will try to do that. There will be children that will try to control your classroom. You don't let them control, but at the same time, you don't put them down in the process of having them follow the rules. You know, you don't, you know, get frustrated with them and say words that God would never say to them. So, and it's walking that balance. There is a balance that we don't let people walk over us, but we at the same time are very loving. And then another area that I just want to encourage is anything that you're doing, give 100%. Because you're doing this as unto the Lord. You're not doing it as unto Jim or myself or whoever is the leader. It's not about you. It's not about whoever's over you. It's about doing it unto God. And if you keep that in mind, it will make it more enjoyable, and it'll help to keep things in perspective. So one of the things that I want to talk about with that is being on time. Now, I am one of those that would be easy to be late to things. I tend to try to pack too many things into too small of time, and so it will tend to make me late if I'm not careful. So thank God, you know, he pairs us with people that are different than us, and so he paired me with Jim. And I'm very thankful. And Jim has helped me to see certain things and to be able to realize, okay, I need to add buffer to things so that I'm not late. And so I just want to encourage you that if you are one of those people that has a hard time being on time, you know, think about it that instead of being here, let's say if your time to be here is at 10 o'clock, that you're supposed to be here at 9:45. And I guarantee you, you'll get here at 10 o'clock. As long as you don't trick yourself into thinking, see, I have 15 more minutes, because I have done that too. But we are trying, you know, to just give some tips on some of those things. Because you, if you were late to your job often, you would hear about it in your end of the year report with them. It might affect your raise. It might affect your promotion. All those different things, it may affect that. And so you want to do this. How much more important is this because you're doing it as unto the Lord? So it's just as important as something else that is special to you or has priority in your life. This should garner that same kind of respect, not because you're doing it for Jim and I or you're doing it for anyone else, but because you're doing it as unto the Lord. And so you want to make it a priority. A second thing is whatever area that you are in ministry, be prepared for that. So if there is a craft that you have to do ahead of time, have that prepared and ready to go so that when you get here, you know, your mind isn't trying to figure out how to do that craft. You already kind of know what you're doing. If you're teaching a lesson, kind of already know where the lesson is going, instead of just kind of looking at it and reading it as you go. I am not saying this for any of my workers because I feel like they do an excellent job, but I'm just saying this in general, overall. So if you are a greeter and there's certain things that are in your area that you are supposed to be prepared for, just make sure that you have it done. There's not, you know, it doesn't have to be hard, but just come prepared. And take it seriously because this is your opportunity to minister and this is your opportunity to shine. And also, if you will do that for the things that you consider small, then as God finds you faithful, he promotes people, and then you're going to be able to handle the promotion. But if you've kind of skimped along at this level, then when you get promoted to the next level, you're not as prepared. And it begins to show and it begins to crack and you will feel stressed. And that's because you didn't have some of the foundational things in line. And so just remember, we're laying foundations, but you're laying a foundation in your own life. And so as things may seem like this isn't a big deal, it is a big deal. Take it, you know, put that emphasis on it, that it is a big deal, and do it with your whole heart. And then another thing is, be prepared to stay the whole time of whatever it is that you're doing. And don't leave early unless you've communicated that with your leader, whoever, you know, right now that would be me, but whoever it is. So pretty much every area but greeters stays for a little bit after the service. If you're volunteering, every area stays for a while. Our children's ministers, they stay for 15 minutes afterwards just to ensure that the children are safe as their parents are picking them up. And so just keep that in mind. Whatever you're doing, it may seem like, oh, what I'm doing isn't that important, but it is. And you're having an opportunity to develop a relationship with them, with different people, as you stay around. And so I just want to encourage you, don't leave early unless you absolutely need to. And then in that case, you can talk with me or whoever's over that area. Another thing is to make sure you clean up. If your area is messy when you're finished, take the time to clean it up before you leave. So the ushers are going to be picking up extra bulletins and just different things from the sanctuary, any cups that are left or anything like that. They may do a pass-through and clean that up. Toddlers, Lord knows they have a lot to clean up. They're, you know, you're just dealing with little kids, and they're messy. And so they are spending time cleaning up. Super kids, there's stuff, you know, a lot of times there's projects that we do or different things, or they'll leave their scripture sheets on the floor, you know, things like that. We pick them up and just keep the room neat and tidy, because that sets, it gives an impression if a room is left unkept. And sometimes, we don't have it very often, but sometimes we do have people that'll come in through the church, and if it is untidy, it leaves an impression of what we stand for, and you know, we're trying to do this to the best of our ability. So if you can clean up, plus that just makes a little bit less for Jim and I to do. If we're having to clean up everyone else's areas as well as the different things that we're doing, our children don't get fed in a timely manner on Sundays, or on Wednesdays they don't get in bed early enough. And so, you know, it's a great help to us. We appreciate it when you clean up. And then another thing that we want to just suggest is to be on call. And what that means is that whether it's your week or not, to greet or to do children's or usher or whatever, take the opportunity to love on the people that you're actually ministering to. So if it's not your week to greet, but the week before it was, and you noticed that somebody came in and they were new to the church, and now you are sitting in the sanctuary and you see that new person, well, they're not going to have a lot of people to talk to. So that would be a great opportunity for you to minister to the new people or the newer faces, to go up to them, shake their hands. You know, feel free to come up with questions, small talk ahead of time, you know, that you could say to just about anyone. If there's a big event coming up like the Olympics, you can ask them, so have you watched the Olympics? What do you think? Or whatever it is, they don't care what you talk about. They just want someone to talk to. And a lot of times they're kind of shy, and they're not going to be the ones that are going to initiate the conversation. So the more that, you know, we have people that are looking for newer people, that would be a blessing, you know, that they, besides just trying to get to Jim and I to talk to them, if our greeters were looking for new people to minister to them. The ones that are working with youth, if on Sunday you look for one or two youth and just say hi to them, and you know, you're developing a relationship with them, and that's important because we minister out of having a relationship with people. Children, if you're not on children's that day, but you see a child, go and give them a hug or say hi to them. And they appreciate that so much, and it feels like a family instead of, the adults are important, but the children are over here. No, you want to have it to where, this person is important. God considers them important, and so we do too. So if you are taking care of that area, even on the week that you aren't volunteering, it's harder for people to fall through the cracks. It's harder for visitors to fall through the crack. It's harder for children and youth to fall through the crack if we have people that esteem that and minister even on the weeks that they're not necessarily scheduled. And then the final thing that I'm going to touch on is men, do not be alone with women or children. And I may have Jim talk on anything that I'm not covering well. But we're in a society where it's very easy for people to sue. And we are endeavoring to make this safe for you. And so women, please don't get offended if a man notices that it's just you and him in a room and he moves out to the foyer and has you come with them or whatever. It's not because he doesn't like you, doesn't want to talk to you. It's because we're asking for that to happen. Children, you know, men, you do not want to be in a room with children by yourself. And we're going to be having more and more different things happening with that. If you're paired with somebody that is of the other gender, be careful. Especially, we're going to try very much not to, we'll be very careful on how we pair people. But at the same time, you don't want to have a single man with a married woman on certain things because it just doesn't look right. And if you are as a married man talking remotely with a different married woman, those kind of things can look, you know, it causes people to start talking and start questioning and wondering. And we just want to be above reproach on some of those kind of things. And it's not because we're saying that you're not trustworthy. It's not that at all. But God says that we have to be smart. I'm trying to think, harmless, smart as a what? Something about snake.
Wise as a serpent.
But harmless as a dove. We are to have wisdom in some of these things. And it isn't like there haven't been pastors that have run off with the secretary. And so, you know, those things do happen in church. And so we're doing things that we know to do to safeguard you on that. But also we are asking for you to understand where we're coming from and to just be very, very careful. Be very careful. It's very important. This is probably one of the most important things that I'm talking about, even just because you just want things to be above board and not to give place for the devil in anything. And did you have anything on that?
Yeah. So that's just in general. Like we said, we're laying a foundation, so you get this won't be the last time you hear majority of these things. This isn't like we are saying these things as general guidelines, all of this stuff, and you guys that when we've started certain groups, you've heard a lot of this. Like when we started the greeters, you know, we sat down and had a lot of these same discussions, and so you're going to hear some of this stuff repeatedly. So we'd want to sit down. We're building an infrastructure, and we want people to approach volunteering a certain way. We will have guidelines in addition to these that will address some of those things. Like, you know, as we grow, basically there isn't, man or woman, nobody, it's on here. Nobody's alone with a child, man or woman. Like at Rhema, you could not be alone with a child because that's to protect you. Because if you, that child could say you did something and you, that just gets ramped up so fast. Well, the child wouldn't lie. Well, no, the child could lie. But if you have another adult there, that stops it. So it's to protect you guys as much as the children. And then with the whole, man, you just got to be careful. And women. And just if the women understand and don't get offended, don't put the man in an uncomfortable place. If you try to be conscious, if women, you can help us, then it doesn't put the man in the position of saying, you know, excuse me, if you're conscious, well, let's get to some public area. It's just wisdom. We don't open the door to anything, and we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And as practical or carnal, natural as this sounds, I mean, these are very important things as we grow. Yeah. It's one thing you say, well, I know everybody. You're not going to always know everybody. Okay, right now you can look around and you know most people. But we're setting a structure so that as we grow, we have these things in place so that when somebody comes in, it's clear. Go
ahead. And another thing is that the person that you're talking to may seem like the sweetest, most innocent person, but when someone is scorned, they're not going to act in that sweet, wonderful way that they are when they're in their right mind. And so you have to be careful of those kind of things. And even teenagers, you know, you have to, you know, even though you're not considered adults, some of the, if anyone were to say to some of our teen workers that this happened in the toddler room or that happened in the children's room, just the way that things are today, it's not, you know, people don't presume as much innocence. Whoever's the older one tends to be considered the guilty party until proven innocent in the public mind. Maybe not in court, but in the public mind, that's the way that things are done. And so we just want to encourage you guys on that we're not thinking anything of anyone in particular on that at all. We're just saying this as a general guideline to just be careful. And are we done on that? Can I go on to this?
Yeah.
Okay. If you are available April 4th, which is the Friday of the Bobby Indian meetings, and you're available to help out for the luncheon. So that's going to be during the day. Now, I completely understand that people have work schedules and may not be available to help, and that's totally fine. We are going to need, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 volunteers to help out with different areas to get it set up, especially since it's not looking like we're going to have our nice fellowship hall. This is going to end up acting as the fellowship hall for the minister's luncheon, and then we're going to have to tear everything down and put the chairs up and be ready for a larger than usual meeting that we're going to have. So we're going to have to put out more chairs. And so we're going to need, like I said, probably 6 to 7 people. If you are able to possibly be around, if you wouldn't mind raising your hand, I'm just going to write your name down, and then I will be touching base with you more as we go.
Okay, and then we have the night service with Bob Yandian. So we will need, this goes right along with all the stuff we said, the different areas that we have covered normally, greeters, children's, toddlers, we're going to need those covered that night. So, and we're going to probably need extra because, you know, we could have additional people. So potentially more children's workers. So potentially all the children's workers and toddlers. We have to have those places covered. Shelley will be in the main service. And as we go further, at some point, Shelley will be moving out of the children's. But and the more she can be in the main service eventually, that would be the direction we're going. But especially, she needs to be in the main service. It'll be a different service for when Bob Yandian's coming in and for guest speakers in general, just for ministry time. She should be out there. For the pastor's wife should be out there. And so we need your help for this. And this is where we know everybody wants to hear Bob Yandian speak. But I'm telling you, this is ministry. And again, we've been there. Winter Bible Seminar, when I'm going to school, all week, we were back in the children's. You know, different people. We've been there. I took time off of work to be there. Winter Bible Seminar, worked the morning service and the evening service. And this is where we minister, when we're giving up the time. But believe me, you're ministering to God. You're doing it as unto Him. And you will get more doing what he told you to do than you would if you came out in the service if you weren't supposed to be there. So that being said, so we'll need, I don't know, yeah. I don't know if you want to cover that part.
Yeah, I'll be getting in touch with everyone.
With all the different areas, we'll just need additional.
And let me just tell you, just to share our hearts on that, you know, I love ministering to the children. Yeah. I really do. It's something that I would be happy to do forever. But we do know just that one of these days that I will step out of that, that's because of being the pastor's wife on certain things. I can't give as much as what somebody else can to the children if that was the sole thing that they're putting all their time and energy into, because my time is divided. And so I do realize that there's coming this time when somebody's going to be able to give 100% to the children, and I want that because I love the children. And so it is not easy for me to step out and come into the main service at all. And so I also understand that, you know, people enjoy when you have a minister coming in. But I have also been on the other side, and I realize how much that you get as you are giving. It's just like you give your money, God helps you. If you are giving your time, now you can have an attitude that I wish I were out there with Bobby Andean, and you're tying God's hands to be able to bless you for that because you're not giving out of a cheerful heart. But if you are giving to these children with a grateful heart, you know, or if you're in the parking lot and you're missing the praise and worship and you're doing it with a smile on your face even though you're missing out on something, God will in turn end up blessing you for it. And there'll be something in that lesson that you're doing that will speak to your heart, or just however he ends up doing it. Somebody gives you this little smile or says something that just makes your day. And then when you in turn go and listen, because we will have it recorded, when you listen, God will make sure that stuff that you are needing to hear will be on that recording. There will be things that, even though you weren't in the service to pull from it, he will put it on there. I have that happen all the time. I listen to Jim every week, and I'm never disappointed. I'm always getting something from his messages. And so that is, I just want to encourage you on that. Do it as unto the Lord with a happy, merry heart, and you will be so blessed. And these kids are worth it. They really are.
Yeah, and then there may be other things like downstairs greeter, parking lot, just
exactly.
Extra things.
Yeah, we do have several things we're going to probably have to have help with the parking lot and with the downstairs foyer and just different things. But whatever it is, if you are happy to do it, it's an awesome representation of the church. If you, I can't remember how many times Pastor Hagen used to say that people were just blessed by the parking lot attendants. The fact that it was such chaos and they were making it very neat and orderly and they were doing it with a merry heart, people would come in and I'm blessed already just by seeing the parking lot attendant. And so we just want to let you know that that is ministry. Right there.
Yep.
Did you want to do that question?
Yeah. All right. So we've wrapped up everything that we were going to cover. So are there any questions about anything we covered? Or?
I'll bring it back to you.
You don't have to.
Oh, it's taped.
I was just wondering how we sign up for the Bob Yangin thing or whatever. Is that, should we send you an email, or are you going to have a sign up, or how do
you do that?
Send an email?
Just tell me if you're interested.
All right. I guess you know I am.
Okay. And I'll be touching base with people, too, on just different things. But if you're not currently listed in an area, let me know if you are interested.
Okay.
Am I missing anyone?
Yep.
Okay.
So I signed up to help set up for Bob Yandian.
Okay.
Do we do double duty? Like, I was thinking maybe I could help greet. If I set up, I could greet.
Yeah, all of those things. What I'll do is if you let me know the areas that you're interested in, I will, There'll be so many greeters that I need. There'll be so many in the different areas that I need. And so I will, you know, put people in places. If I know what areas you're interested in, you can let me know. I can write that down. And then I will come up with this master list of who's where and then get back to everyone on it. And another thing that could happen is we could have too many people in certain areas and then an area that we don't normally have, like parking lot attendant. So there may be that I'm moving, you know, people around to fit the different areas that we're doing for that night. So, or it may be, because we have so many people, that you may get the night off. We'll see. And don't think it's because, oh, I'm on the lower of that group. No, it isn't. It'll be that it'll be your turn next time. You'll be on the top of it next time. Anyone
Who else?
Anybody?
Really?
We're so good. We didn't have any questions.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for your time. We esteem your time. We know that you're given your afternoon, and we appreciate it. And we love you guys very much. We appreciate you. It's an honor and a privilege to pastor this church, and we have an awesome group of people. And so it's going to be good things. We believe that with all our heart.
Yeah.
So as we go forward here, it's just going to keep getting better.